The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Passed by, it's 7 minutes past 12 midday. This is Manx Radio's Man in Line with you through till 1. 35 new cases of COVID-19 were detected yesterday. We now have 253 active cases on the Isle of Man. Three people are in Nobles Hospital, none of them in ICU. 225 people waiting for the result of a COVID test today. 79 people booked in for a test. And from the vaccination dashboard, ...65,459 first doses have been administered, 98% of which have had a second dose. 63,839 second doses. 102 people booked in over the next 7 days for a jab, and DHSE holding 14,412 shots of vaccine in stock. Four ministers ousted, seven sitting members losing their seat, and for the first time ever, we have 10 women in the House of Keys. It was an eventful night as results from the Manx general election filtered out of the 12 constituencies. The dust is now starting to settle. The job will be to find the next chief minister and form a government. Let's just take a look back at the winners and the losers at the Manx ballot box yesterday.
The evening was a long one and saw seven previous members defeated at the polls, including four ministers. Graham Cregeen, Paul Quine, Ralph Peake, Tim Baker, Geoffrey Boot, Ray Harmer and Martin Perkins. On the affirmative side, it was a plus vote for female politicians, 10 being elected, including two in one seat for the first time in both Douglas South and Douglas East. Some of the winners now: Jason Morehouse, Tim Glover, Sarah Maltby, Claire Christian, David Ashford, who's ruled himself out of a chief minister's bid, and John Wannenberg.
I think I've tried to be that link between local people and national government, and I think that's really crucially important, and I want to be approachable and help move things forward.
Well, it's a heck of a job application, isn't it, to be tramping around a constituency like Arbury, Castletown and Maloo, all together crossed in a box. But there was positivity out there all the way, right from the start. So obviously that's got to be converted into votes, and I'm delighted it has.
I'm not usually speechless, but that's amazing. Thank you so much for everyone who turned out today.
It's just such a momentous moment that two females have got into, as you know, in a constituency as MHKs. It's the first time in history. It's absolutely phenomenal.
It's been a hard-fought election. All of the candidates have worked very hard in this election, and here we have the results. I'm honoured and privileged that the people of Douglas North have put their trust in me for a second time, and that just under 80% of those who came out to vote today cast a ballot for me.
I'm going to deliver as much as I can on everything in my manifesto.
Stu Peters, a winner in Middle, said his aim was to speak for the silent majority.
Well, I'm standing for common sense, and I'm standing for accountability. Those are the two things that I'm promising to the people of Middle and to the wider Isle of Man over the next 12 months. I'd like to think that I'm going to be the voice for the silent majority who feel alienated by politics.
Andrew Smith won a Garth seat after two previous attempts.
But it's been a well-run campaign, a mutual respect amongst all candidates. Obviously great thanks to my long-suffering wife and family. Many long hours, and today a very long day and a very long night. But I'm very pleased that the people have put the trust in me, and I want to repay that trust over the next 5 years.
Tim Baker, a minister, of course, was a loser, but he was happy to speak afterwards.
In a sense, it's quite liberating that I've now got a complete blank canvas as to what the future holds for me. Obviously, it wasn't what I planned. I am disappointed with the outcome. But I've got to accept that the public has spoken. And I feel as I've stepped forward. It's always been about serving the people of the Isle of Man. I've served them to the best of my ability for the last 5 years, and to be honest, I've achieved in one term what I thought I could probably achieve in two terms.
The man tipped by many as the next chief minister is Alf Cannon, who topped the Aaron Michael poll.
The next government will have to hit the ground running as much as it possibly can, but it's vital that we put together a proper plan for this island. But amongst all the challenges, there are so many opportunities for this island, opportunities for a greener, cleaner future, opportunities for economic diversification, opportunities for better healthcare, and opportunities across the board for us to deliver a better future for our people on this island.
Those members will be sworn in next week.
Well, if you have any thoughts on the matter, we've got lots of brand new names, some not so new names that we're going to be getting used to over the next 5 years. And whichever way the chips fall, whichever hand of cards they're dealt, they'll have to deal with it. And of course, there are some new rules regarding remuneration, in that there's no extra remuneration for departmental membership. So any thoughts on the matter as well? And by all means, get in touch. Call 661368, email studio@manxradio.com. It takes 166177. I have to mention today, by the way, it's South African Heritage Today. Obviously, John Wonenberg in Douglas North is of South African heritage, and we'll have a South African voice in Keys. So I thought I'd mention it's South African Heritage Day today. And if you go to manxradio.com, some podcasts there you can listen to, and lots of South African cooking recipes and tips from the South African celebrity chef Ruben Riffel. Follow Manx Radio on the social media channels. Join the celebrations as well and catch up with everything at manxradio.com. Wherever you are in the world, our Heritage Day braai with Manx Radio and our good friends at Standard Bank. Fancy a braai? Well, it's, you can have a braai in any weather. It's nicer when it's warmer, but what the heck. All the best to you. Thanks for getting in touch. Remember, just three members of the Council of Ministers were elected. David Ashford topped the poll in Douglas North. However, Mr. Ashford has ruled out a bid to be the next chief minister. He said he was surprised by the level of support that he got.
I'm obviously delighted to be returned, and it's very humbling to have been put back for a second time by the people of Douglas North, with just under 80% of people who went out to vote casting a ballot for me. I wasn't expecting any sort of result like that, and I've got a lot of trust to repay over the next 5 years to those electors who voted for me.
Now, you are one of just three ministers to be re-elected, so that means you're going to be one of the senior members in the House this time around. What impact will that have on your role?
Well, that will be up to any new chief minister and what role they believe is appropriate for me. I'm not going to prejudge what role I might have. That will be up to whoever heads up the new administration, which we'll know on the 12th of October, hopefully.
Now, you have ruled yourself out of that chief minister contest, but whoever is in charge, they're going to have a very fresh group, lots of new faces. Does that come with some pros and cons in your thoughts?
I mean, it always does. It does take ministers time to get to know departments. I mean, I went straight into Council of Ministers with one of the tougher departments, Health and Social Care. And I certainly, I'm happy to confess it took me a good 6 months to get to understand the department, to get to understand how to get things done in the department. But I think also we're going to have fresh new ideas there in the House of Keys. And that's never a bad thing. An election can also be a time of renewal. And with the domestic challenges we face over the next 5 years, we all need to work as a team in the House of Keys to deliver for the island.
Do you have an idea who you'll be backing for Chief Minister?
I think we've got two very able candidates in Alex Allenson and Alf Cannon. At the moment, I would probably be swayed towards Alf Cannon, I've got to be perfectly honest. But I will wait and see what the candidates are actually offering in terms of what they're going to do for the island, because I think that's the important thing before I make my mind up firmly.
Now, in the meantime, you are still the Health Minister. How difficult is it to keep going with the day job when there is so much change going on politically?
Well, it's been difficult during the election, I must confess. One of the things I found most frustrating during the election as Health Minister was the fact I didn't have time to go around as many doors as I would normally in an election campaign because I was trying to do the day job as well. The administration carries on until the 12th of October with all ministers still in place, until the new administration is formed. Up until then, it's day-to-day decisions that are taken. There won't be policy decisions as such. But it's important the House gets together at the earliest opportunity, chooses a new chief minister and gets up and running with a new administration that has massive domestic problems to tackle.
16 minutes past 12. Well, gender balance of Keys has really changed. The House of Keys hasn't seen a more widely contested election because as recently as 2001, only 20 years ago, one in six of the Keys were elected unopposed. it did happen quite a bit in the past, particularly striking the historic number of women elected to keys, rising from under about 12% in 2001, 21% at the last election in 2016, nearly 42% of the keys is women. In the past, women running for keys were elected in very much the same proportion as men, but last night, less than 25% of the candidates were women, but that translated to over 40%. We mentioned that going round lots of the seats, lots of the constituencies, that there were places where there weren't many women at all among the candidates, but 42% of the new keys is women. It can have a tremendous impact more immediately, of course, on the selection of the government, the Council of Ministers. The last Council of Ministers was composed entirely of men. It's hard to imagine that being the case with the new keys, but obviously that will be down to the new minister. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding that. Women in politics, of course, LegCo has lots of women in it as well, although two of those currently in LegCo have now vaulted into the House of Keys, Jane Paul Wilson and Kate Lord Brennan. So that means there will be two vacancies in LegCo. In LegCo, there's Tanya August Hansen and Marley Masker and Kerry Sharp as well. So we'll see what happens, really. There will be vacancies in LegCo, and I just wonder what your thoughts are. Last night, Chris Robertshaw said he thought that perhaps the experience of Graeme Cregeen, who came way down the poll in Arbroath Castle, down the Maloo, but maybe it's it will be beneficial if Mr. Cregeen used that ministerial experience. They always like to get former politicians, former Keys members in, as well as a mixture of people from, as it were, outside the tent. So if you have any thoughts on that, let us know. Lots of emails and texts coming in regarding what happened last night and the composition. Enjoyed the YouTube broadcast last night. Interested and varied guests, lots of different viewpoints. All the best. Thank you, Anna. Thanks for that comment as well. Nice to hear from you. Let's mention, I think the people of South Douglas have missed out on the two best candidates. They missed out on a tax-savvy professional and a guy switched on to the aviation services. Says Paul, this is instead they've got MHKs who'll be hard pressed to contribute for the good of the island at a wider aspect. Well, the people have spoken. That's all there is to it. There's no ifs, buts, or maybes. Sadly, for Paul Quine, his tenure in Keys was quite short. He got in on the by-election last year, and he's out now. Jared Higgins didn't get in. It's Sarah Maltby and Claire Christian. So, Paul, just wonder whether would you say that to their face? I wonder. There's a thought. Can you mention, by the way, that the Lonan and Laxey anti-cancer shop is open for business early today and for all day tomorrow as well? That's Christine in Baldrine. The Lonan and Laxey anti-cancer shop is open. I don't think that politicians defeated in the election. I agree with the caller who said that the politicians defeated in the election shouldn't be considered for the election by Keys to LegCo. The electorate demonstrated they don't want them, so that's the end of their contribution. Over and out, says Andy. Well, that's not the case. I mean, it's your opinion, Andy, obviously, but it's not the case because if you get the requisite number of nominees, you can be nominated to go into LegCo. There have been cases in the past of previous politicians who didn't get a public mandate who did go to LegCo. And Chris Robertshaw and Tony Brown, we had three former chief ministers on last night. Tony Brown finished up with Chris Robertshaw talking about LegCo and talking about the fact that LegCo is there as a check and balance. It's there to balance what Keys does. So maybe you do need politicians in, or maybe failed politicians for that matter, to make a balance in LegCo. But it could happen. It could happen. Perhaps Mr. Cregeen will put his name forward for one of the two vacancies in LegCo. Maybe he's had a bellyful. Maybe he won't do it. A note in all says, thank God for democracy, getting rid of the deadwood in Comin. Your words. 5 years of political madness ended out with them on their ear. Who could ask for anything better? Well, I'm sure they wouldn't say that, and maybe we'll be charitable today. Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Not too much, but when you were saying there earlier on, there were seven of the ministers that weren't re-elected. But when you take into consideration the one that didn't stand, and we have, Chris Robertshaw didn't stand, Lawrence Skelly has moved to the Speaker, the Chief Minister as he is at the moment, he didn't stand, Bill Shimmons, so there's four. So that's 11 out of the total number that I can think of just offhand that, in essence, have lost their seats, have moved on from government. So that is what the people of the Isle of Man have spoken loud and clear, that they were totally dissatisfied with the previous government, the previous ministers and the way they were working. And it's given an idea as to what is needed, and the newly elected candidates should take close heed to this, because the people are the power, and they are there for a short-term contract, 5 years, and it doesn't mean to say they can stay in that long. So they're going to have a difficult time for a short while, especially the newcomers. And I wish them luck. But just be careful. And as an old saying goes, keep your friends close to your chest and your enemies even closer. So these new people is coming in. Be ultra careful of what's happening within the background, because they're still there with the civil service, and they're the ones that's projecting all the ideas. And again, the MHKs, they have... Well, they're just the mouthpieces. Although David Quirk will come on and say, yes, it's got to be legislation, got to be this, that and the other. But the civil service are the ones with the power. And that is a reversal of what was originally the oldest parliament in the world. That is the opposite as to what was envisaged. It was set up by the Vikings, as we know, and it was 24... members, and then the Legislative Council was to read the books afterwards and dot the I's and cross the T's. But then in this last setup with the government, the MHKs and the Legislative Council have all been power hungry, and this was the result of it. The people of the island have spoken, and I hope now that these new people have come in will have learned a lesson, a salutary lesson, and listen to the people of what they want and react to that, not egos. And unfortunately, a lot of egos have suddenly been dashed. So I can only think at the moment, just listening to it, that the ones that haven't stood and the ones that have lost their seats, that's almost half the government disappeared. So it's... It's been coming.
Are you pleased to see anybody in particular into Keys this time?
Not really, because a lot of the new ones who come in, they can make promises, but again, as I say, it's they're up against a brick wall. Once they get in there, they can go into Timwold, but they're only going in with various items that are set out for them, and they can lay that before government, and yay or nay, but the power behind that are the executives, the chief executives within the civil servants, and they're the ones with the ultimate power. And this is, as I say, keep your friends close to your chest and your enemies even closer.
Okay, all right, have a good weekend, Howard.
Thanks, then. Take care.
All
bye
right,
now.
Good to talk to you. Here's Mike with us now. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Andy. How you doing, boy?
Good.
I've got a little poem. I used to be breakfast time... poet, if you remember, in those days.
Pulleyman.
Pulleyman. Well, Pulleyman's got a poem for you, boy.
Okay.
It's going to be read by my dear wife, Brown Eyes, as she's well known around the place, because my Parkinson's voice is working pretty hard this morning. So here she is. It's Irene, known as Brown Eyes.
Hello, Andy. I've been corralled into this.
Okay.
It's called Skeet Before You Tweet. Well, there you are, all keen to please. Our brand new, bright new House of Keys. You've won your seats all fair and square. A well-paid job, a cosy chair. There's not a lot you have to do. Just loudly state your point of view. Go round the world just showing off and keeping noses in the trough. For if you follow social chat, with experts posting this and that, you'd soon believe in what they say about the average MHK. But those who've gone that extra mile to show their wish to serve our isle, despite the social heckler's cry, they stood, they won, at least they tried. And that's it.
Fantastic, Irene. That's lovely sentiment today.
Yeah. And thank you. And I just want to say, we had a young man stood in Garth. He's a school teacher, Gareth Young. And he nearly got in. He just missed by, I don't think it was even 100 votes. And let's hope he's not put off and he stands next time, because that's what we need, young blood.
Good. Okay. All right, Irene. And Mike, thanks for being with us today.
And thank you, Andy.
Okay, good to talk to you. Juan, hi, Juan.
How are you, Andy? I'll follow on from my cousin. He was the poet in the family. I wasn't so good at that.
Oh, right.
Were you falling asleep last night at the end there? I listened to the programme. I got to about 1 o'clock and I thought, Andy's fallen asleep there on the show.
I don't think I was. Why? Oh, maybe I was. Maybe it was all a dream.
Yeah, you had a lot of oracles on the show there last night, and a lot of wise words are always said when people have been out of politics for a while, isn't it? It's some interesting viewpoints there last night.
They say absence makes the intellect grow stronger.
So we've got a team of Spice Girls in now. I see we've got a big female contingent there. I see back in, was it 1806? And they said in the suffragette movement in Timbald, it says, now that women can come in, we have to get bigger chairs in Timbald. I think it was to do with the bustles, but we have to get bigger chairs. So I'm just wondering, are they going to spend out on some bigger chairs for all our ladies?
I wouldn't say that to their faces if I were you, Juan.
Only for their bustles.
And the thing is, I mean, lots of people talk about this gender balance. And last night, I mean, a few that we were talking just said, look, it doesn't matter. It just happens to be that there are lots of women. The fact is they're going to do the job as long as the job gets done. But I mean, I understand, and certainly the gender balance has changed, and also it was kind of out of proportion to the number of women that actually stood yesterday. 42% got in and only 25% stood.
I agree with what you're saying there. It's down to the person who can do the job. I know the likes of Claire Barber this year stood up on quite a few occasions on the healthcare stuff. And it's totally about the person. I think Howard is quite correct in what he said before. The problem is still there now, which is, and I'm not saying that all civil servants are bad. We've got a lot of really good, hard-working civil servants, and we've got a very complicated government with shipping registers and all sorts of stuff. But there's certain people there that definitely need to be sorted out for the benefit of the running off the island, not for the other stuff that's going on, the high-flying stuff, but the stuff that's affecting us here on the ground.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, I don't want it to turn into the fact that we, you know, we use the civil service as some sort of, you know, coconut shy. It's not that. It's just that often there are people who are in the administration of things, you know, do sometimes block things, sometimes do modify things to their own agenda. It's well documented. Lots of the politicians were telling me last night off the record about things that had happened. And they know what that problem is. It's not that every civil servant is there just acting against the public will. They're not. They do. Everybody has a job to do. And the vast majority of civil servants do the job well, diligently, and they deserve every penny they earn. It's just that sometimes, you know, the lines get blurred.
Yes, they do. And like I say, there's certain ones there that's obviously causing problems, and some have gone down the road. And Again, we need, like I said before, a strong group of MHKs there now who are not going to sit back and be walked over. Again, I think as Stu Peter says, common sense, hopefully common sense will prevail. Glad to see that we've got someone in support in agriculture with Tim Johnson. I think agriculture and farming over here is going to be very important in the next few years. I think it's going to come into its own again. And again, Manx problems for Manx solutions. Let's not take on these national agendas that are not going to work financially good for our island. Let's you know, keep things happy here on this island and you know, keep things going for Manx solutions for Manx problems, as they keep saying.
Who are you happy to see in Keys, Duan?
I I've been reading a lot of threads about this today, about Stu Peters, and Stu's very Marmite from what I can see. I think we need him in there. I think for checks and balances. I think they could have done a couple more in there. Trevor Cowan, I thought, could have been in there on checks and balances and looked at things. You need a few more Peter Caron type people in there to hold accountability. I'm glad Claire Barber got back in. I think Alf Cannon is destined for the main job. And we need them type of people in there to guide us along, definitely. I think a good mix. There's a couple there that I wouldn't have put back in. But it's nice to see that there is a lot more females gone in there as well. And hopefully they'll follow on from the likes of Claire, who've been quite strong. Kate Lord-Brennan and Jane Poole-Wilson obviously was destined to win. Good mix. Good mix in general.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Duan. Have a good weekend.
Cheers, Andy.
27 minutes before one, Manx Radio, Man in Line, day after the big day, the day after our national election on the Isle of Man. And I think sometimes familiarity breeds contempt in that, you know, we forget that the Isle of Man is unique around the world, that Tynwald has been going for a flipping long time. And our general election really matters. I'll come to the turnout shortly as well. And a note in, on a lighter note, if a woman is elected to the chief job, will it be changed to the chief mistress?
It's natural, isn't it? Start with the best quality. Treat it with time, care and attention, and you'll create something that tastes special. Deliciously different from the everyday. That's the Taste the Difference range by Sainsbury's. The finest food and drink, grown and produced to bring out natural goodness and flavour in almost every aisle, with exciting new arrivals all the time. Sainsbury's, Taste the Difference, only at ShopRite. Naturally.
Hello?
If your hearing isn't as good as it used to be, contact Island Hearing. Run by a local family for 12 years, you'll find excellent treatment, help and advice at Island Hearing. Offering professional hearing tests, the latest hearing aids and competitive prices from our branches in Douglas, Ramsey and our main hearing clinic in Port Erin, where we also provide the most advanced wax removal treatment on the island. Call the Island Hearing team on 830 722. Island Hearing, we're listening.
Like the sound of a flexible pay-as-you-go plan with no ties? Sure you do! Our simple-to-use pay-as-you-go plans are contract-free and put you in control, so you only pay for what you want when you need it. And you even get unlimited data when you top up using our app. Freedom has never felt so good. Visit sure.com today and...
Join us for festive lunch and dinner throughout December. Perfect for the family, the work do, the catch up with friends and the weekend getaway. See menus and book at manninhotel.in.
Christmas at the Manin Hotel.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend partner is Miller Chaps of Ramsey. Your chance to win £250 of artwork or accessories with a huge range of artefacts to pick from. All you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on The Breakfast Show on Monday morning at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to be a winner here on The Nation Station, Manx Radio, with Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Thanks to my good afternoon. 24 minutes to one. Just to say, says this correspondent, enjoyed the coverage on Manx Radio last night. The only thing I don't agree with is a defeated former MHK becoming an MLC. That is, well, we had some kind of, we had every movement, didn't we, last night? Former MLCs becoming MHK. We had a former MHK and MLC becoming an MHK again in Tim Crookall, in Glenfarne and Peel. We had a former MHK and MLC who didn't get in, Leonard Singer in Ramsey. Everything was there for the statistician. We've crunched the numbers, by the way, and we reckon the estimated overall turnout was 53.77%. We will be going through that, but that's a kind of the first run we've got. 53.77%. The turnout in 2016 was 52.92%, and in 2011 was 57.12%. But there, apparently there were more people on the electoral roll this time, but 53.7%, so 54%, shall we say, if we're going to round it up. But obviously that will that's a number that will be crunched as well. And well done to Paul Crane and the Manx Radio exit poll team, who got just about everything right. I think 22 out of 24 we got right with our opinion poll, with our exit polls that were run yesterday by school students. Andy said, when we voted them in, that's probably about 50% of us. Well, 54% voted. We must congratulate them on the results. Hope in 5 years' time we congratulate them on their achievements. Let's hope we see a more balanced comb-in, especially regarding gender as well. Percentage turnout for Air and Michael. Don't have the figures. We will get to all the numbers. There were lots of numbers last night to crunch, and it was very late. It was very late in Peel, the last declared result. There's a note on. Let me see. You were asking how many votes did Tim Baker get? Tim Baker and Aaron Michael. 709. The result in Aaron Michael was Tim Baker 709. Sosten Basugu got 189. Phil Corkill got 378. Duncan Livingston got 517. Paul Wetherill 540. Madeline Westall 168. And the two elected, Tim Johnston 1,203, Alfred Cannon 2,117. Those were the numbers. I don't think we should have MHKs for LegCo, says 099. Your opinion, that is. Thanks for that. And Crystal said, great, for more ladies in, quite appropriate. Says Crystal, behind every good man is a good woman. I don't know whether you can say that nowadays, but if you're, do you think, let's have a look here. Am I acting on behalf of Graham Cregeen? This is Texter Treble Zero. You've mentioned Graham Cregeen's name 5 times in 3 minutes. Yeah, I think you had a late night last night. Conspiracy theorists, if you think I have any traction in this, you need to go back to the beginning again. Last night, Theresa Cope said Manx Care was operated at arm's length from MHK. Surely the Minister DHSC is more a more junior post than the others, says Gaz. Theresa, it was interesting to talk to Theresa Cope, the boss of Manx Care, last night, as to what the future is regarding, because the whole process is really to separate policy from day-to-day running, and she's got that job on her hands. So it was good to talk to her last night. Also, we had Dr. Glover up as well. Paul Moulton was in, stirring the pot as usual, but it was good to talk to Paul with his opinions. We had the boys from Politibabble in, were in. Oliver and Archie from Politibabble were in. Debbie Halsall was in from the Unite the Union. And a good mix of guests, lots of people with lots of opinions last night. A note in, let's hope that the Onken MHKs stop their squabbling as well. We have two MHKs who refuse to get on and work together. Well, that was talked about last night. Paul Moulton said apparently the two Onken MHKs don't get on. Tony Brown rolled his eyes and says, well, it doesn't matter. In fact, it's good sometimes that MHKs don't get on, because the constituents can then have different people in the community that they can talk to. But again, you You pay your money, takes your choice as well. Stop bashing civil servants, says Dave. Give us a call, Dave. Tell us why you think that is and why you think we're bashing civil servants. Is there a procedure for a constituency to have an MHK removed if they don't act for the whole good and turn out to be rogue, says Andy. We asked about that. I don't think there is. Obviously, there are certain MHKs can be barred from Keys and Tynwald. That's happened in the past. But we didn't find out a procedure for getting rid of an MHK. Presumably, that may fall to the captain of the parish. But we couldn't find one, I'll be honest with you. Why did Beth get the giggles last night? It was funny watching her not to try to laugh. Beth has got a very mature sense of humour, and it was a long night last night as well. Thank you, Paul, for that note in. I'm glad Claire Christian got in. Maybe we can get stuff done for mental health, says that constituent as well. And at last, the possibility of a progressive Keys, says BD as well. The last Comyn must be as clean a sweep as possible with the so-called experienced ministers consigned to the backbenchers. Their only experience is in implementing failure and preventing urgently needed change. They're the problem, nothing to do with the solution. So, a progressive Keys. Who do you think should be the chief minister? Only one of just three ministers to be re-elected, Treasury Minister Alfred Cannam. And remember, even though some of the ministers were voted out last night, they continue to be, and they'll be in today doing their work, they will continue to be ministers until the new Comyn is formed. Obviously, Mr. Quayle is still Chief Minister, Mr. Booth is still DEFA Minister, all those ministers, Mr. Cregeen, Home Affairs and Justice Minister, they're still in jobs until the new Comyn is formed. So, but only three were re-elected. Alfred Cannon topped the poll in Aaron Michael. He'll serve the constituency alongside newcomer Tim Johnston, obviously from the NFU. But will Alfred Cannon seek election as the chief minister? Alfred Cannon.
No, I'm just humbled. But overall, it's you spend 6 weeks talking to as many people as you can. I'm sorry to those people that I didn't get to see, but it is always humbling to receive such a vote. And look, I'm deeply feeling very, very proud at the moment, and grateful as well. But right now is the time also to start thinking about the future. We've talked a lot of constituents talked to me about the issues that are facing. There's a lot of serious challenges facing the island now. Now's the time to knuckle down. The government's got a huge job on its hand, and indeed the parliamentarians have got a huge job on their hand over the next 5 years. COVID, as I said, climate change, housing, health waiting lists, hospitals, but also we've got to find the opportunities to push forward in this. And I do think there are many opportunities for this island. So I also go into this next administration with real optimism and plenty of sound feedback and advice from my constituents, which I value tremendously.
And you talk about being humble, and you also talk about the future. There's been a lot of rumours around circulating about you potentially being the next chief minister. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'm going to now talk to other elected representatives over the next few days, and from those conversations we'll determine what now needs to happen in order to get a government form, get a plan together, and I'll let people know in the next few days where things stand from that perspective.
How are you going to celebrate?
I think a quick glass of wine and I've got to go to bed because I'm absolutely exhausted.
There he is. Lots of people are tipping. Paul Moulton simply couldn't stop himself last night and just said, apparently, in Paul Moulton's opinion, Mr. Cannon wants to be chief minister. And everything points to him being one of the candidates. Obviously, Dr. Allenson has put his name, as mentioned in the past, that he would stand to be chief minister. Just wonder what your thoughts are on that. It seems that I definitely voted based on gender, says Emily. I said several times before the election it would take a lot to convince me we need more white middle-aged men in politics. Without diversity of representation, we can't guarantee that the diversity of situations are being taken into account by decision makers. I'd personally love to see more diversity with people of colour, openly LGBTQ politicians on the Isle of Man, but it was a great start, says Emily. If an MHK and a former member of Comin have been resoundingly booted out, I don't think they should be considered to be an MLC. I suggest we use untapped talent. Maybe Paul Crane, who, of course, our stats man last night, the guy who organised our exit polls, rather than re-elect tried and tested meritocracy, says Nicola. I hope the voting's been about their agendas, the women, that is, and personalities, not based on their gender. And John said, I do wish people would stop banging on about the gender makeup of the new House of Keys. All people should be bothered about is their performance over the next 5 years.
For your new bathroom, head to Peacetter, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Peacetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Peacetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Peacetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of everything, where the price is twice as nice.
Looks like the Manx Shearwater has returned early this year.
Shearwater? Your investment plan with Ramsay Crookhall?
No, the bird.
Oh!
But you're right. My Shearwater should make some impressive returns too.
Wish I could afford to invest.
You can. It's flexible and really affordable. Invest a lump sum or a monthly amount. It'd be a great way for you to get started.
Shearwater from Ramsay Crookhall. For 75 years, the island's investment specialist, offering a wide range of services to make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
COVID isn't beaten yet. The government still strongly advises that you wear a face covering in close contact and crowded settings. Masks are most effective when everyone wears one. So to protect yourself and others, carry one at all times. Play your part in protecting our island. Be safe, be smart, be kind.
If you're looking for outstanding care in your own home, contact Care at Home. Our small, friendly team of professional carers are police-checked, fully trained and managed by our in-house nurse and therapists. Contact Care at Home on 2-3-3-08.
Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by IQ.
On today's programme, full reaction to all the results from last night and the early hours of this morning.
I think everybody you've spoken to on this station will say that we've got a few challenges ahead of us over the next couple of years, but I'm ready for that challenge.
For Claire and myself to be elected as the first two women into Douglas South for the first time ever for any constituency was amazing.
It would be very interesting over the next 2 weeks to gauge the attitude of members, particularly those new members, and see where we can go from here.
And you can listen back to the programme for the next 7 days on demand at manxradio.com. And on Monday, Chris Pearson will be here with Sian, rounding up all the developments from across the weekend.
So join us on Monday from 7:30 for Manx Radio Breakfast.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
11 minutes to one. Thanks for being with us this lunchtime, Friday lunchtime on the Isle of Man. Still got some fog hanging around the mountain road, so do take care. The biggest threat to civilization, says correspondent 068, is the woke cancel culture. So I congratulate Stu Peters on winning his seat. We were talking about it last night, actually, to some of the guests about cancel culture and no platforming people. And obviously, I don't know whether you think that's increasing nowadays. It doesn't really seem to get that much traction on the Isle of Man. Everybody can seem to get a hearing, you know, depending on what their opinion is as well. Said the women who got in are very worthy of election, which is more than can be said for some of the men, says Sue. Which men, Sue? What are you talking about? I suppose it's one way of looking at things. At least Timbal members, the Timbal chambers will be nice and clean and well polished, as the women will get the men to do the housework. Now, come on. I'll allow that once. Stop emphasising the number of female MHKs. They're all new members, the choice of people, says Kay. And well done as well. And I think the number of women getting in, says another correspondent, 538, is testament to quality of the candidates. The ones I know are very bright and very capable as well. And thanks for your compliments about the coverage as well. We did our best. I have to say, Beth and I sat at the top of a very, very large pyramid last night of people doing lots of technical work. We had effectively 12 outside broadcasts going on last night with correspondents at every count. And we got every count, we got every result live on the air. So it was tremendously well done, especially to poor old Dave Moore was waiting on in Peel. They thought they were going to have to be serving breakfast at Peel. It went on so long, but it was a very long night in Peel as well. I don't think you should. Time to stop the civil service bashing, says Bill. Remember, nature abhors a vacuum, and in such circumstances where legislators are lacking experience and brains, we have to rely on the executives to plug the gap. Nothing is contentious about that, Bill. It's just that it would be really nice to talk to some of the senior civil servants, to the chief execs of the departments, to the senior people within. And it always used to happen in the past. It was very common that a chief exec or somebody from an old board would come into Max Radio and talk about the functions of the department and what the challenges were. Nowadays, you don't really get it. And we're almost at a loss as to know why that is, as to why senior civil servants won't come in to talk about the department, even accompanied by a minister. Well, maybe it'll change in the future. It's always happened in the past. And if you think that Max Radio is going to be 60 years old, the year after next, Max Radio has been around an awful long time and has spoken to many, many politicians and senior civil servants in the past. Just that nowadays it seems to have dried up a bit. John said, it's great to see Stu Peters elected. As a petrol head, his first task as an MHK should be to finding the hidden DOI bunker, turning out the crazy road schemes. A maverick MHK with a brain, says that. I'm sure Stu will be very happy to hear that, John, as well. A note in that just says, I think Legco is jobs for the boys and girls, although they lost their seat in Keys, says Manx Rob. So, well, we know what you don't want, Rob, but what do you want? Who should be a member of LegCo? What should be the qualities for a member of LegCo? Do they have to be lay people, professional people? I mean, what sort of people do you want in? If politicians have had 10, 20 years of experience in Keys, would that experience be used better if they were in LegCo? LegCo is a check and balance. It's a scrutinising chamber to make sure that it reins Keys back. So do you think it would be it's in our best interest to throw away the experience of experienced politicians? It's just a thought, Rob. I mean, give us a call. Tell us what you think as well. Dick said, I watched the YouTube coverage all the way till 2:30. I even had a feed of the empty studio right at the end to be entertaining. My word. Dick, you need to get out more. And I want to know what Paul Moulton said to Beth to have her in hysterics after the GARF result came in. How did everybody keep... Paul Moulton had everybody in hysterics last night, let me tell you. It was just one of those nights. The Manx Labour Party is going to be represented by two MHKs. Joni Farragut topped the poll in Douglas East. Sarah Maltby secured a spot in Douglas South. Sarah Maltby, of course, fills the seat previously occupied by her dad, David Cretney. Sarah Maltby.
As you know, I declared in January, and that was one of the first questions that people asked me. Haven't we just had an election? We have. You know, I'm really sorry to ask you to come out again, but please listen to me and listen to what I have to say. And people did, and I'm so pleased that they did.
Now, it's not just yourself in Manx Labour that's been elected. Joni Farragut elected in Douglas East as well. What does it mean for the party to have two MHKs?
Well, Joni and I have worked very closely together for a number of years, and when we both became elected chair and leader a couple of years ago, we were obviously delighted to be able to head up the Manx Labour Party and the incredible team that we have. So for the party, it's just incredible, but it's not just for us too, it's for everybody. That's how we've always run things, and that's how we'll continue to do things as we move forward.
There does seem to be a strong history of party voting in Douglas South. Your dad, David Cretney, of course, represented the Manx Labour Party for years. There have been a few Liberal Vanin members there in recent years as well. What is it about party politics that speaks to the Douglas South voter?
Do you know, I think it's more to do. It's obviously very important, but I think it's having that team behind you, and people trust in that. People think, well, yeah, I know that if Sarah doesn't know, then she'll know somebody who does know. And we're not just voting for one person; we're voting for a team of people who will be able to get us the best results, especially for Douglas South. You know, Douglas South is very important to me. I've lived here for 36 years, and like you mentioned, it has been a family. You know, a family tradition to be here. So I'm very lucky and very happy that the voters of Douglas South have put their trust in me.
Now, you are one of 10 women who were elected yesterday. What does it mean to have so many women in Tynwald?
Oh, gosh, you know, I'm a little bit of a social history nerd when it comes to the island, and Claire and myself to be elected as the first two women into Douglas South for the first time ever for any constituency was amazing. And then to hear last night that 10 of us have actually been elected, I just can't wait to see the photograph of us all in that front row. You know, it's just, I just can't wait to see it. I mean, it's a long overdue. You know, it should have happened a long time ago, but we're here now, and I'm ready to sort of be part of a team.
Congratulations to all the winners last night. I also want to say a sincere thank you to all the other candidates. Without the other candidates, there wouldn't have been an election. So if you knew somebody who stood last night and didn't get in, well, spare them a thought, maybe give them a call and say hi. It can be a bruising experience. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing today. Back on Monday.